I host them, you understand? So it was very great from these three points. The first point, I forgot. The second point, I don't remember. The third completely fled my mind. So you have this wonderful, unforgettable, magnificent relationship with Time Magazine, where again the family is here to feed me my paintings, but as I do my paintings, the family enjoys living. You know, because if you say, all right, you don't do that, you don't do nothing then. You don't go anywhere. You don't go to Vienna, you don't do nothing. You go have a little vacation, maybe you have some security. I can't, that's one thing I cannot do ever anymore, to have anybody to work for. I was always, the moment I left my wife and I went to Europe, that was all. I never worked for anybody again. I was always free from then on. And always, you have to come to me. That's the most amazing thing. You always have to come to me. I can never get any job or anything by going out after them. People have to call me. Of course, it's a wonderful time to time, but you have to be patient until they come to you. And this is the same relationship I have in the Art Institute, the same complete, absolute freedom. In the whole history of art, there's not one relationship that you can compare, neither Velázquez, nor Goya, nor Cézanne, where you have this relationship that you have no loyalty, neither to the person who gives you the money to paint, nor to the person who wants to be painted, because I gave it to them, if he liked it or not. So I did my best to please myself, to please the greatness of art, but there was no loyalty towards Leonard Bernstein. I don't care, because I didn't do it for him, and I never thought of one second for Time Magazine, because they accepted me there wholeheartedly. Completely, yes.
Did you give your children, or did your children have some Jewishness, or
not the only Jewishness in our family is the influence of, unfortunately, he moved away, was of Dick Rubinstein. You understand?
Did they have any formal training at all?
Who?
Your children.
No.
When they were being raised, the philosophy was your philosophy, not an institutional philosophy.
That's exactly.
or religious.
Yes, exactly.
And what about their part in the community? Did they attend the neighborhood schools or private schools?
Yes. Neighborhood school and Taylor Allardyce, and people always say public schools are no good, but for them, because they are good children and have very good minds, they found great people in both. They found great people in Taylor Allardyce, and they found great people in Whiteman School even. And I have very good friends. There she comes. With the children, now there was a great episode I want to tell you. I was in Vienna this winter, and I met two boys that I painted 17 years ago. We had a reunion, and they're grown men now. And I felt that they have nothing to do anymore with the children that they were. In other words, children enjoyable, free human. Of course, when you're a child, you're part under your parents. But really, you're always, if you're not under your parents, you're under God, you're under destiny. You're always like woman. What the hell does she want to be free? She would always be a slave under somebody. She wants to be a slave working as a white collar worker, working in. Why? It's nothing glamorous if you work on the low level. On the high level, you have always God and destiny above you. So you never are free. Now these people, one of the characteristics of young people, though you are in a dogmatic family setup of mother and father, which are some sort of God figure, you're absolutely free. When we walk with them, and Bitsy remembers them, we call her Bitsy, I call her Bitsy, I don't know why. These were free-floating, happy, wonderful children, and they have become nothingness. Absolutely nothing. If an atom bomb would destroy them today, I always say that nobody, no God, nobody would ever cry about them. It's a cruel thing to say, but that is the truth. So what did come to my mind? That I always stayed a child. And when I walked with them to Europe, I was a child. You know, I enjoyed, not that I didn't do it for them, but I relived something that I never experienced, because I did not experience the awareness of Austria. I did not experience the Schillertal or Tyrol or Schneeberg or Rocks or Semmering or all the places we went when we went, or Vienna Wood, because there was no financial problem anymore, because we could travel now, because at that time the dollar was high and the prices were low. So it was very, very glorious. And I didn't, as I want to repeat again, I didn't do it for them. I did it for myself, but at the same time, it was, again, say, maybe it's wrong, but what else would you do? What else would you sit at home and do nothing? Or she mentioned, that's another aspect, because we live an interesting life. We met interesting people like Sam Rosenberg and Alexander Elliott and Richard Rubinstein and people. They are what do you mean interesting? They are, one thing characteristic, they are not superficial. They are not after the superficiality of existence. They are true, honest people where every sentence has to be taken with thought, you know, and consideration. Because, yes, and most 100%, 99% of all people are superficial. There's nothing you can talk with. There's no nothing profound. But this again, you ask me, what did you do for the children? It's not what you do for the children, it's what you do for yourself. That's important. It's not important, as Kennedy says, it's not important what we can, the government, can for do for you. It's important what you can do for the government. It's not important what I can do for the children. It's important what I can do for me. And if my endeavor and my direction is completely unmaterialistic, but purely nice and basic and good, you can't not benefit anything from it. This gives you the answer of my role in the family. Yes, and it is to continue what she says, when I always tell the student, when you, of course you can't tell this to a student because the student has no motivation. This is, I'm just one teacher of many other parts. It means nothing. But when I do a cover for Time magazine, I do it as if I would be died, or if I would die tomorrow. You have the chance. This is your last cover you're going to do. What did I do? I did the Metropolitan Opera, the old Metropolitan with Leontine Price. And every time I do what is the last possibility, as if you would be dying, you know, this is, and it makes it very, very simple of what you're doing. Not highfalutin, it's very simple, but it's very on the point of what you have to do. Yes.
Of course,
I want to add something on it, which is some sort of derogatory, but to listen to this, is that because there was so much joy in the childhood, what comes after? Well, that's the one thing is that you don't have to be afraid, and I think
what
one is afraid is that there is no God. But what comes after childhood, life is inexhaustible in its possibilities. Of course, if you buy diamonds and you eat at a good restaurant, there is a limitation on how many diamonds you can buy and how good foods you can eat. There is a limitation. But there are other unlimited enjoyment in existence which the person, the individual, can go through. There's no limit.
But there's some people who are more limited than other people, because, for instance, some people are really like dry sponges. And you can feed them and feed them with water, they're going to keep on drying out in the sun. And you can feed them.
Yeah.
And that's what God does in a certain way, just keeps on feeding the people with water. But on the other hand, if you're not a dried up sponge, I mean, I don't go with Martin, for instance, all the places that you work. But I mean, if we have free time, I drag him just like you dragged me. First, he was I don't want to, just like I was when I was a little kid. But then all of a sudden, he enjoys it too. He formed the child role.
Well, this childhood enjoyment of facing every new experience with that same kind of enthusiasm and that same kind of excitement seems to be your constant fueling to your fire and so forth.
Yes.
I think we do have to kind of wrap it up because of time right now. Let me just ask you if there's anything else you want to add in terms of Pittsburgh and your role here
in Pittsburgh. You have a similar situation like in Europe. In other words, you have stage settings. There are many places that are void of any stage setting at all. I mean, California for me is too dramatic, too much silhouettes. The Midwest is this way, the East is this way. But for me, Pittsburgh is a great stage setting, one next to the other, and so is Europe, one stage setting next to the other. And this is what I need for my creativity. I have to find stage setting for which stage actors or stars clamor, want to be in the play, and I have to have actors, stars to play in a stage setting. Because if you look around, all my paintings are nothing but a silent play of actors that are in a stage setting. And the simplicity of the stage setting comes that the stage setting that I paint these different scenes are actually existing. And they exist in Pittsburgh because of the different weathers and seasons in comparison to California or a tropical climate, which I can't stand. I like this Middle European with snow, with spring, with winter, even if it's not nice. Of course it's not nice. It's cold, it's wet, it's sometimes it's disgusting, but it's different. And this gives you always new stage settings calling for actors and actors calling for a stage setting. Okay.
Very good note to end on. Go to the Jewish
and just another thing.
They don't understand how I can be a Jewish artist, because I don't paint anything Jewish, because they want to see an illustration, which I'm not. I'm a living Jewish painter with living Jewish ideas, and which are not recognizable of what they are, but that's the mystic of the great statements. I'm not like Alexander Eliot or James Joyce, who is to free himself from Christianity to make a statement. I don't have to free myself, as again Rubinstein said, you don't have to do anything to be Jewish. You just have to just live and believe in the Baal Gevuras, in the master of all powers. You know, I always call it, and always in every talk I say Baal Gevuras, because this, strangely enough, is two words that I learned when I was with a religious teacher in Vienna. You know, this kind of this mystic, the master of all powers, and it still has tremendous meaning for me. And this is the meaning of Jewish religion, the Baal Gevuras. It's not that you have another person, a mediator between you and God. I mean, this is so fundamental. Don't you understand that I don't need any fund? I don't need it.
Do you need a community?
I
mean, do people need a community?
No, no, I don't care about
that. A Jewish community.
No. I wish they would come to me, but again, what would be their problem? I did a book for the new Beth Shalom, but because I did it only because Mrs. Rubinstein was heading the Beth Shalom at that time and got me together with some of the people who ran Beth Shalom.
You feel that the way the community, the Jewish community exists here in Pittsburgh, that for most people in the community it does serve a purpose? Do you feel the way the Jewish community exists here in Pittsburgh, that for most of the community it serves a purpose?
Well, of course, everything, every situation, every organization, every government serves a purpose. I mean, like bingo game, doesn't it serve a purpose? Like going to the church, it serves a purpose. It serves a purpose in the way you talk to the people. I mean, a Jew goes into a temple with an entirely different frame of mind than to be canceled down from the pulpit of being rotten and smoking and all that shit, you understand? There's an entirely different, I think, there's a very Eastern, Oriental attitude between Jewish praying and sometimes I stop people and say, do you realize, I have a great, one of the authors of the greatest friends, I didn't mention him, Gershon Hepner, for instance. Now everybody who does something for me is my real friend, who gives me financially, because he is the only possibility that I can go on, you understand? So I say, if Gershon Hepner takes out $4,000, or $5,000, $6,000, and buys my painting, which he did, he's a great friend, not enough because he gave me money, because he understands what I'm doing. And he is a really, really Hasidic Jew who doesn't drive on, he doesn't pick up the telephone on Sunday. He's completely kosher. He prays all day long. He's a doctor. Now, he got my message because he's Jewish. He knows what I'm doing, and so does Richard Rubinstein knows. But for all the people who go to the temple, they get something out of the temple that I could not give to them, that I would disturb them. You understand? So they don't want to support me. Though I could do anything in their direction without disturbing them, as I have proven by doing a calendar. What do I have to do with CBS? But it was great what I did. What do I have to do with the Robert Morris? But I go there and I give them what they want. I give them more what they want. I give exactly what they want and more so. The problem is, what jobs would you want from the community? I don't know. I mean, maybe there is not enough jobs to be done because Jewish religion still lives under the image that there shouldn't be any image of God, either in drawing, nor in clay, nor in anything. You understand? Not only Orthodox. I think also conservative. I mean, I don't know. I would even say go so far. It goes even into the Reform. Reform. I think I'm sure if you can go into the Reform Temple on Fifth Avenue, you don't have to have a hat on. But there's still a keeping away from the illustrativeness of talking. Of course, that is completely wrong, because one of the greatest, that's what I want to say, is the greatest teachers of modern, is it on?
Mm-hmm.
The greatest teachers of modern existence who taught Cezanne was a Jew by the name Pissarro. And that is something which is tremendously important. In other words, that really kicks the teeth in of all the Jews who say we should not, because he was the greatest philosopher in terms of modern visual realization, and he was the teacher of Cezanne. Without him, maybe Cezanne would be also, but he's tremendously important in modern existence, in the existence that I talk, and there will come a time in Israel. You know, in Israel, they don't bother about this problem the grave. Wonderful, sweet, that mm-hmm. you said. The grave image. That's what I was really looking for. The grave image. They give a damn about it. In other words, there will come a time when it will be, because, as I point out in an article that I wrote for the Jewish the world itself, when you read the Bible, is a graven image. So how can you say that a word is less than if you paint a cow? It's the same thing. A cow is a cow. It's a mental image. It's a beginning of an idol. You know. So you can't get around. The moment it starts out with the letter itself is already a graven image.